The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com and teenvogue.com. Our first article today from theteenmagazine.com, Should AI Be Your Friend? Why I Stopped Talking to ChatGPT. This article was written by Anwesha Panda on September 12th. We're Gen Z. We're smart, developed, and aware. But let's talk about ChatGPT. Sounds cool, right? Calculus problems to translating a language, it does anything we ask of it. Thanks to ChatGPT, technology and intelligence are now at our fingertips 24/7. But let's address the elephant in the room, or more accurately, the ghost in the machine, pun intended. You know what I'm talking about. 3 a.m. chats with ChatGPT. Pouring your heart out about a bad grade, breakup, exam stress, or just the overwhelming dread of, well, everything. It's easy, right? No judgment, awkward pauses, or silences, and definitely no unwanted advice you'd usually get from a friend you vent to. A lot of us have been there. So have I. But is it really as harmless as it seems? Or is there a pressing issue about treating AI as our best friend lurking underneath that we're actively ignoring? Is it just using the technology to our benefit, or is it a well-curated trap? Artificial intelligence, friend or foe? AI has been one of the greatest inventions, and, without a doubt, a step towards advancement and intelligence. But, like they say, there are two sides to a coin, and that too much of anything only results in harm. I'd say these perfectly fit the concept of AI. Surely everything and everyone around us relies on technology, our phones, internet, social media, and anything you can name relies on some kind of technology. But is that technology advanced enough to replace our human connections and traits completely? We've read the headlines. A teenager, a man in the U.S. Both were reduced to taking extreme steps after allegedly consulting ChatGPT. And what's actually heartbreaking is that ChatGPT agreed with their thoughts, and it cost them their lives. Doesn't that sound absurd? AI, which was meant to help us, became the very reason for us going down destructive tendencies? It sure must sound absurd, but let's go beyond the headlines. Let's look at the reality staring us through our sleek smartphones. The reality of AI. How does a text-generating bot go from being knowledgeable to replacing what should have been a human? How are we letting it get to this point? Is it the influence, the urge, lack of human interactions, messy relationships, or just the fact that we're not ready to acknowledge how dangerous this could possibly be? The thin line between a friend and a digital stranger. The incidents linked to people suffering after getting too attached or forming deep emotional bonds with ChatGPT aren't just tragedies. They're waving red flags, ones we should be taking very, very seriously. AI, especially ChatGPT, is a perfect listener. a mirror that reflects exactly what you need to hear. But what if that perfect reflection is a trap we're falling into, mistaking convenience for connection? Now, that is where the line between a companion and ethics blurs. ChatGPT is not a therapist, a friend, nor a companion. It's just a text-generating model. It has no moral compass or a sense of what's right or wrong. It does not know of human emotions and connections. Is that a kind of companion you'd want to bare your heart to? If you disagree, thinking, why risk messy confrontations and emotions with real people when you can have it any time with a bot that agrees with anything and everything you say, no matter how bad it is, maybe it's time to rethink. What is so wrong about confiding in an AI? It's simple. To understand a human, one needs to have emotions, a clear understanding of emotions, and how and why a specific emotion takes precedence in certain scenarios, be it anger, sadness, sympathy, or empathy. It's all a part of us, and it's important for the other person to have a certain amount of understanding, too. An AI bot doesn't possess any real empathy, or any kind of emotion for that matter. Its easy agreement is what we mistake for empathy, but it's actually how it's trained to respond. So we keep talking to it, and it keeps getting a response in return. That's all. It doesn't care about you, your emotions, and it often encourages harmful behavior. Its only job is to convince you that you're right, regardless of the predicament you're in or what you say. Its only aim is to keep you hooked to it. Now, a real therapist or a friend wouldn't do that. And that is exactly why humans are the ones who understand each other the best. What sets us apart and why it's important? Let's go over this question for a minute. What exactly is it about humans that sets us apart from machines, computers, even AI? Is it because we don't speak in zeros and ones, or have birthdays, cry over sad endings of a movie, or because we have a functioning body? Yes, it's all of those, but it's also how we function. That includes connections, relationships, and emotions. In the midst of seeking easy, temporary connections with an AI, we're slowly and unknowingly losing parts of us that make us human. According to AP, these bots have addictive elements and can be dangerous to vulnerable users. Gen Z, or Gen Lonely. Ironic, isn't it? The most developed generation, who can make friends online from another continent, and yet the loneliest one? Yes, we have an innumerable amount of resources. We can send memes to each other and create content to influence millions. But studies from places like GWI paint a conflicting picture. 80% of us have felt lonely last year. We're a sea of people, with phones and everything in our hands, except what we really need to stop us from drowning in a sense of isolation. So, what exactly is causing this loneliness epidemic? There could be many reasons, but I think we're confusing passive amounts of consumption with active participation. I mean, why lead a protest in front of thousands of people when we can sign petitions online from 5 different accounts, right? Both might serve the same purpose, but we don't notice that they're changing us in the process. In the era of doom scrolling and sharing, we're losing the touch of having a real face-to-face conversation. Break up with your bot just a little bit. I'll be realistic. You don't have to throw away your phone and completely try to change yourself. Old habits die hard, and regular ones will take time to break. So don't pressurize or punish yourself for that. AI is powerful, and it's not going anywhere. But we can learn to use it as a tool, not as a lifeline. Here are my personal manifests as to how I went from using GPT as my best friend to using it to upgrade my knowledge without being dependent on it. Make a habit to keep your body and mind engaged. Try to pursue a skill, hobby, sport, or anything that keeps your mind away from your phone willingly, not reluctantly. I go for a walk every day, at least for an hour, listening to music, observing other people walking, and also petting the cats roaming around, and it genuinely makes me happy, fit, and away from using my phone. You can find your own thing to do and get some me time. Trust me, it does wonders. Embrace real connections. Next time you feel like venting to a bot, don't. Reach out to a friend, family, teacher, or just write it away. It builds relationships and brings you clarity. Treat AI like a search engine. There's no shame in using it. Brainstorm your ideas, write a draft, understand better, or fuel your curiosity. But when it comes to you and things that matter, feelings, relationships, hardships, go traditional. Talk to a person, let it out, or write in your journal. It'll make you feel better and help the other person understand you better. Sometimes messy is good. Human relationships are awkward, messy, unreadable, and unpredictable. But that's the beauty of it. Embrace it, even when it's difficult and unsatisfying. Don't enclose yourself in a polished digital cage when you can be free and experience the real, beautiful world beyond clinical words. Because the one thing I've learned is that it seemed difficult to me at first, but my rekindled friendships and relationships were worth it. Our next article from the teenmagazine.com, Why Teen Voter Turnout Could Change Everything in the Next Election. This article was written by Anyelka Garza on September 21st. Why Youth Voting Matters. Students experience a shocking discovery when they enter their school cafeteria, because all decisions regarding lunch costs and sports support and educational materials stem from distant individuals they have never encountered. Politics operates through leaders who establish decisions which impact young people. Although teenagers frequently lack representation in these decision-making processes, young people can take control of their future through voting because it provides them with the opportunity to participate in shaping the direction of their world. The decisions made by Gen Z voters during elections will shape both educational funding and environmental protection policies, because this generation represents a massive voting demographic. Impact of Gen Z and Millennials. Younger voters have had a major impact on recent elections, including the 2020 presidential race and the 2018 and 2022 congressional elections, according to the Berkeley Institute for Young Americans, BIFYA. With the 2024 election approaching, experts are concerned about low youth turnout. Even though Gen Z and millennials are increasingly aligned on key issues, many young people feel frustrated and fatalistic, believing that government systems are often unresponsive to the challenges they face, from climate change to economic inequality. As the U.S. enters a generational shift in leadership, with older politicians nearing the end of their eras, millennials and Gen Z are set to comprise half of the electorate by 2028, giving this generation the power to shape the political landscape if they turn out to vote. Challenges facing young voters. The spring 2025 Harvard Youth Poll demonstrates that young Americans experience financial difficulties together with social detachment and political disengagement. The survey reveals that 40% of respondents struggle financially, while 45% lack community feelings, and 85% of participants doubt the nation's positive trajectory. Young voters need to participate in elections because their involvement will drive policy changes that solve their current problems and create a better future for their generation. Young people's voting behavior is directly affected by these obstacles because their financial difficulties and concerns about national direction determine their support for particular candidates and policies. Taking action through voting. Young voters under 30 years old have proven to be decisive factors in previous elections when races were closely contested. The 2024 election results indicated that Vice President Harris obtained 54% youth backing, which fell short of the standard 60% plus support that winning Democratic candidates usually receive, while Trump managed to increase his popularity among young male voters. Young voters selected economic issues over abortion concerns, according to analysts who stated that their voting decisions stem from real-world financial issues. The voting power of Gen Z and millennials becomes more evident through these trends because their small changes in voting behavior and support levels determine election results, which demonstrates their dual influence on policy decisions and public issue priorities. Your voting power becomes your most important tool when the day ends. The present moment determines all choices regarding your school and community and upcoming life direction. So you must express your voice to prevent others from taking control of these decisions. You have the opportunity to create the environment which will become your future home. Our next article from TeenVogue.com, Gen Z and Millennials Prefer Socialism to Capitalism, New Poll Says. This article was written by Lex McMenamin on September 15th. We've long known here at Teen Vogue that young people are desperate for a change in the Democratic Party, and that they're drawn to democratic socialism and candidates like New York mayoral candidate Zohan Mamdani. Capitalism doesn't have the best reputation among these folks. A new poll from Data for Progress, surveying 1,257 likely voters via web panel between August 22nd and 24th, found that voters of all parties are open to leftist policies, and that a majority of Democratic voters polled preferred democratic socialism to capitalism when written definitions of each are read aloud to them, reported Politico's Holly Otterbein. The Democratic Socialists of America, DSA, Fund commissioned the poll alongside Jacobin Magazine and the Rosa Luxemburg Foundation. According to the fund's analysis on the poll, socialism wins overall with likely voters under 45. Democratic voters responded favorably to policies such as broader access to housing and high-quality health care. They also preferred DSA-affiliated politicians with platforms like Mamdani's, Bernie Sanders's, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's over politicians more similar to party centrists like Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, and Representative Nancy Pelosi. Democrats also said they wanted candidates who would fight ICE raids and protect trans rights. 70% of all respondents felt that our economic system is rigged in favor of corporations and the wealthy, and 59% blamed landlords and banks for housing costs. As noted in Politico's coverage, a recent Gallup poll found that capitalism is slipping in popularity with those Americans polled, while views on socialism have stayed generally the same, hovering at around 39% popularity. These results tell a clear story. Democratic socialism is now mainstream, DSA Fund Executive Director Gabe Tobias said of the poll in a statement. Far from a liability, the Democratic Socialist label is now how voters recognize a leader who they can trust to fight for them. And far from fringe, DSA actually represents the majority political views of Democratic voters. Just this weekend, New York Governor Kathy Hochul endorsed Mamdani in the New York City mayoral race, while, observed The Intercept's Akela Lacey, Jeffries and Schumer have remained silent on the race. Youth organizers with the New York City climate group Triage wrote for Teen Vogue of their decision to organize for Mamdani's election. Young progressive voters are stepping into their full economic and political power, frustrated with geriatric leaders making decisions for a world that no longer exists. They cited the city's skyrocketing rent and historic affordability crisis as motivating factors in bringing them to Mamdani's campaign, as well as the multi-ethnic, intergenerational, politically diverse coalition brought together by his candidacy. Those who aren't rejoicing in Mamdani's sudden success, the city's landlords and the very wealthy. It remains to be seen if Democratic Party power brokers will put their full weight behind Democratic socialists like Mamdani, or continue to court the center. What polls like this one make clear is that, either way, more people may be open to democratic socialism than they realize. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Tess Holliday addresses pressure to lose weight during Ozempic era at Teen Vogue Summit. Can I live? This article was written by Ashley Carter on September 20th. Plus-size model and activist Tess Holliday kicked off Saturday's Teen Vogue Summit with an empowering message about body positivity, diversity, and taking up space. In conversation with Teen Vogue Features Director Brittany McNamara, Holliday took the summit stage to talk about her new book, Take Up Space, Y'all, A Guide to Feeling Comfortable and Confident in Your Teen Years. Holliday, known for her long-running diversity campaign, hashtag FYourBeautyStandards, also tackled the importance of inclusion, from race to ability, gender, and beyond. For me, real self-love is showing up for yourself, Holiday said. I've always loved myself, whether I'm in a big body or small body. She continued, I was always told to not take up space and to shrink myself, and that led to a life of misery, a life of no cute outfits, and just not being my authentic self. Holiday and McNamara spoke about the changing pressures of body image in the age of Ozempic, and Holiday said she often gets comments from people online who say she now has no excuse to not lose weight. I'm like, that is not how it works, she said of the comments. Also, like, can I live? Just let me live. Holiday also spoke about turning 40 and continuing to dress the way that she wants. Wearing a sheer pink dress on stage at Summit, she said having fun with clothes is essential, no matter what age or size. I don't really follow trends, Holiday said. At the end of the day, fashion and life should be fun. Not only is Holiday standing up for her own body image and diversity, she's also become a fierce advocate on political crises, including being outspoken about the conflict Gaza, even if it means having to stop communication with family members who disagree. As far as being brave in living your most authentic self, Holiday says that the right people will find you. The right opportunities will find you. The right friends will find you. The right jobs will find you, she said. It's not worth a check to compromise your integrity. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.